Hi, welcome to the Ricky Gervais Show with me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Hello there.
And the shaven monkey with a head like a fucking orange, that is Carl Pilkington.
Right.
Well, this is a special edition, a giveaway podcast that people who came to see my show Fame in London got, put on their seat, gratis. Thanks for coming. Well, unless you didn't even come and still got this free. Unless someone went and said, I don't want it, it was rubbish, and gave it to you. You're listening to it for free. Or you've sort of downloaded it illegally. It was free anyway. Oh, forget it. We've been away for a while. Now we're back together.
The old team.
The old team back together in a little room in central London. Carl, what, looking back on the year, what's happened? I remember last year the most memorable thing that happened was you saw a grub eating a biscuit. So
that was a highlight. I made it into his diary.
Yeah. So what's the big thing of this year? What's the big thing so far of 2007 that, as if I say 2007, you'll go, oh yeah, that was the year that. You know, in 10 years'
in
time.
Years to come.
Yeah, I go. Remember 2007? You go, of course I do. It was the year that.
I haven't really been following what's going on because of other like personal.
Well, yeah.
Issues.
What's the big? Okay. What's the
just
big thing?
My boiler's playing up still. I'm sick of it.
Your what?
My boiler.
Your boiler.
The boiler that eats the water up and stuff, such it doesn't.
You know what I do in that situation? I'd instantly get a repairman out to sort
done
it
that.
Out.
Done that twice. It was £80 for him just to say, "Yeah, it looks like you need a new one."
Why don't you get a new one then?
Call out. Because then you wondered, are you meant to believe him or is he? Out to sort of.
Well, he's the expert.
Yeah, but is he? It's like you're meant to get a second opinion, aren't you? Like.
So that was the first time then. So what was the second time? Who came out the second time?
Same fella.
And what did he say?
Well, I thought you were going to get a second opinion.
Yeah, and also. I called up the company and they just sent him again because it.
What, call a different company?
What was his second opinion? £80.
I undercharged you. It's 150.
No, because they must look in the book and sort of go, oh, you know, Harry went round there or whatever. And they must think, well, he went there last time, so he knows the situation.
Yeah.
And got the same fella again.
Well, and got the same opinion, I assume.
Same answer, yeah.
Well, twice you've got called someone out. They said you need a new boiler. He had the overalls on, holding a monkey wrench again. He came in a van.
Yeah.
He charged you. He's the professional. Why haven't you got a new boiler?
Because then he went on to say that, you know, it's a dangerous setup I've got. It shouldn't be set up the way it is. It's dangerous. Something about gas leaking out of it. He said, you don't sleep close to this, do you? And it's like, well, the bedroom's there. It's not a big flat. You've seen it, Steve.
Yeah.
It's, everything's en suite, isn't it? So he went on to say...
Everything's en suite.
He's just sort of said, look, you know, he doesn't want to touch it. He said, you need to get someone in who can sort this out for you. But
what, and it took him two visits, £160 to figure that out?
Yeah, this is what they do, isn't it? Yeah.
So what's his advice?
He just said, you know, there are people out there who will touch it if you pay the right money.
Well, okay, so you're going to get an expert in who does this thing and sorts it out, so...
Well, no, I called up my dad.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
always knows He's someone who can sort stuff out. And he said, one of your cousins is a boiler man. And... yeah, they're coming round, but I've never met them. And it turns out that person, because like the whole family, you know, I'm not into sort of keeping in touch with people.
Sure.
I haven't spoke to my brother for like, I don't know, 12 years and sister about 15 years and that. So the idea of this cousin, who he might as well not have said he's my cousin, because I'm not going to know him anyway. I mean, it might have, that last fella, Harry, might as well have been related. So they're going to turn up, and now it turns out that because they haven't seen the rest of the family... They're going to, like, use this as a reunion.
Oh.
What, so they're all going to come round whilst...
They're all coming round.
Whilst he fixes the boiler?
Yeah. And I hate it. I hate family things anyway.
So they're going to come round and just look at you?
Well, yeah, apart from the one who's fixing it. He'll be fixing it and the others will just be sat around sort of going, so, how have you been? It's like, well, where do you start? Seriously, I mean, they are strangers. When they buzz, I could be letting anyone in. And buzz the door.
And so you're going to entertain them all in your flat?
I said to my dad that I might just say that I've got to go to a meeting, let them in, and then shoot off.
I love that. So now they're strangers that you're letting in your flat and you're not even being there. That's the best thing. That's the security. Now, Carl says he remember this year for his boiler being a bit of a pain. But now everyone knows over the past sort of like few years, my big pet project hasn't been my own career. It's been get Carl famous.
Yeah.
I want people to recognise him in the street, come up to him and say, "You bald-headed mank twat." Make his luck.
Let me tell you now, Rick. I've been out and about, and a lot of people have said to me, they've come up to me and said, "It has Carl Pilkington got a head like a fucking orange?"
Well,
I've had to instantly confirm the answer to be yes.
Well, I'm in America quite a bit, and it doesn't matter when I'm talking to David Bowie, The Simpsons, all these people, people on 24, all these people who have got these amazing careers and lives say, "Is Carl Pilkington really like that?" I say, "Yes, he's not two short planks, he's three or four fucking short
thick
fucking planks.
Thick but short but
yeah,
thick
fucking
planks.
Lumps of thickness." But he's had a call. He had a call recently from a film company asking him if he's got any ideas for movies. Now, how desperate, how in what dire straits must the British film industry be that they're going, "Well,
they're turning to cover, yeah.
Yeah, we need Carl Pilkington. We have hit rock bottom." And he went along for an interview.
So what? And you went in and you...
I went along and had a meeting in a cafe. And they just said, "Right, you know, got any ideas?" And sort of said, "You know, what are you thinking? What sort of thing are you after? Are you after action, thriller, whatever?"
Because you can provide any of that.
I love that he's playing it cool, like, you've come to the right person.
Yeah,
time's precious, what do you need?
Yeah.
"Yeah, I'm Carl Pilkington, yeah. They call me the movie doctor, what do you need, Papa?"
So, thought of this idea sort of on the spot.
Good.
Not always by him. No, but sometimes that's how good ideas come up, don't they? Just
randomly. So a lot of yours have come up, yeah.
No, but when if you just talk, I find that your mouth comes out with stuff.
Right, there's another quote.
Right.
There is another quote.
If you talk, your mouth comes out with stuff.
That to me is stands along with what were those things in Gremlins called? Does your brain rule you or do you rule your brain?
No, but what I mean, if you sit there and try and use your brain to do it,
right,
it doesn't work the same. Just keep talking. Just keep your mouth talking and eventually it will come out with something pretty good.
That is exactly what Plato said.
So anyway.
Aristotle, he said, "Sit down, I've got an idea for you." Aristotle said, "Plato, I'd want to go, right, just keep talking and eventually your brain will come out with stuff."
So what I thought, I just started off by saying like actors' names and that who I thought should be in it, because then that's giving more, it's building.
Right,
okay,
so
who did you say?
So I said, right, I'm seeing Clive Warren.
Who the fuck's Clive Warren?
Who's Clive Warren?
The one who was in Closer.
Clive Owen.
Clive Owen.
Right, all right.
Did they look at you like you're a fucking idiot?
Well,
so they all started trying to figure out, who's this Clive Warren we've not heard about? He must be amazing.
Yeah, he's on Clive Warren. Get me Clive Warren on the phone. Clive Warren.
And I said, Rebecca De Mornay, right?
What? Oh, where did that come from?
She hasn't been in a film for 15 years, has she?
Clive Warren and Rebecca De Mornay. I love this. They thought he was a genius. They thought he was an absolute... we've never thought of putting Clive Warren with Rebecca De Mornay.
But hang on a minute, you could have any film star. This is your fantasy casting, and you choose a bloke that doesn't exist and a woman who hasn't been on TV or in a film for 10 years.
Oh, God.
Why didn't you choose someone
who existed. J-Lo
or someone who's a big star.
Oh, God. Clive.
Clive Warren!
Oh, God!
Oh, so gosh. Anyway, so they're going, yeah. And what happens is, they're going out and together and that.
Yeah, Clive Warren and Rebecca De Mornay.
I said, it's one of them where it starts off and the people, you know, you're seeing into their lives from like the morning.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
Radio's on. You know, they're going about the day, they're having the breakfast, they're saying, oh, what are we doing tonight? They're planning a big do that night and stuff. And you're thinking, oh, they've got a nice life.
Mm.
She's like, love you and all that, yeah. He walks out the house, gets hit by a bus.
Oh.
So Clive Warren's dead, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happens is, she's devastated, Rebecca.
I don't know if Clive Warren would take that part.
Because he ain't got much to do, has he?
No, I don't. If I know Clive Warren...
And I think you do.
I think I do. He's going to say, now, hold on, though. There's more, isn't there?
Have you jumped the gun there, Rick?
Go on, mate. What? Tariq, carry on. So he's hit by a bus, so
dead. So he's hit by a bus and that. The title's come up.
Oh,
it's got you, right? She's devastated. She's fed up. She's devastated and that. Doctor says... Clive's dead.
And that, who's playing the doctor? Jack Nicholson House.
What's that fella who was in Independence Day?
Will Smythe.
No, the old black fella.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Get him in.
He's Morgan Freeman, yeah.
He says, your husband's dead.
Right.
She's like, oh, God. What happens then is, he says, but listen, what we can do now, we can take the brain out.
Right.
Right.
And a fact that I'd read that day before the meeting, this isn't in the film now, this is me.
Right, but right. Lucky, yeah. Okay. Luckily
I read a thing about how the brain, it can run on half of it.
Yeah.
You've actually got a full brain.
Yeah.
You can run it on half. We can run it on half.
Right. Yeah.
So this was in my mind still. So I thought, I'll get that in.
Well, half your mind, yeah.
So I said, what happens is Morgan Freeman says, been working on this. You can run your life on half a brain.
Right.
She's sort of a bit like, what are you telling me this for now? My husband's just died like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, but if we're going to do this, we've got to act quick. She's like, do what? He said, I'll tell you. He says, we can, whilst his brain's not fully dead, because it stays awake for a bit when you've been killed.
Oh, he's not dead then, fine.
No, but
wait,
he is.
He comes alive. What
he
do you
is,
mean?
He is, but they found out that right. It stays awake a little bit.
No.
So, no, he's gone. No, you're hit by a bus.
Yeah, no, he's dead. If the brain's dead, you are dead.
Clive Warren's dead.
And if the brain's not dead, you're not dead.
No, but it's like people in a coma. They're dead, aren't they? But the brain isn't dead.
No, they're not in a coma.
No, they're not dead. No, they come out of comas, don't they?
All right, then he's in a coma. He's been hit by the bus, but the chances are he's not going to come out of that coma, but his brain is still awake.
Right, okay.
So, change that. That's easily done.
Hold on, though. I like this fact that he's in a coma, so they're going, look, he's definitely going to die in this coma. Take the brain out now. Pop the brain out.
But why is that such a weird thing when that's what they do now? That's what they do now.
What is?
That's what they do.
What?
They do that.
What? A brain transplant?
No, but when, like, how I've signed that donor card...
Yeah. Right,
if anything happens to me...
No. There's no such thing as a brain donor. Oh, we've explained to you before.
Yeah, but they're working on it. They've said something about Einstein. They messed about with his brain for ages, trying to work out if it was full of stuff. That's what they're doing. They're working on that. There's loads of things that doctors are doing that we don't know about. I've seen some weird stuff on the internet.
Yeah, I know you have. Yeah.
I saw a programme on Channel 5 where a monkey brain was still alive and it was stuck on a stick. And they
you were watching the magic roundabout.
They poked it and it reacted.
Right.
So it's still alive. It's being kept alive. And it's only a matter of time. What's the brain linked up to? The as long as you can link it up to the eyes and somehow so it can tell the arms and legs what to do, you're laughing.
I love that. Imagine a team full of doctors going, well, we're going to try and do a brain transplant. Carl, right. Okay, I'm gonna be quick because I've got to get back. My cousin's fixing my boiler. As long as you can link this up to the eyes and tell the arms and legs what to do, we're laughing. Cheers, Carl. See you later.
Then what happens is they say, do you want half of his brain in your head?
She says, definitely not. I'm having you struck off. She starts screaming. She calls the police. He gets arrested.
Yeah, but you'd have said that years ago when people can have, like, someone else's arm put on their body and stuff.
Yeah, but he's only in a coma.
Yeah.
No, but he's not going to come out of that coma. Right. So it's like this or nothing. He's right. Like, look, you know, what are we going to do here? We can either turn the switch off or we can put his head in your head.
But why would you... So what they do then, they're going to take half his brain...
Half of his brain, take out half of hers... Pop it in place.
Why would she do that?
Because she loves him.
But hold on. Wait. What would she then be?
Because this is what I'm trying to tell
you. Okay, sorry.
What happens is, he explains all this, so I mean, this would probably cover about 20 minutes in the film, but I'm just rushing it.
I just switched off, but yeah.
No, you wouldn't. This bit would have you. Mm. So what?
Well, I'd have actually left when I wouldn't have even gone in to see a film starring Clive Warren and Rebecca De Mornay. unless it was 1985.
So the thing is... She's the same as you. She says the same thing. She goes, why would I do that, doctor?
Mm.
And he goes, well, what will happen is he's gone, but you'll have his thoughts. So in the morning when you say, oh, I don't know what to have, well, they have cornflakes. His bit of the brain will sort of say...
Have a Weetabix.
Have shredded wheat or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, good idea.
Sorry. So the point of this film is that the dead man can remind her what breakfast cereal she likes.
Yeah. So the thought...
What do you mean, yes? So that's it, is it?
No, that's not the only
thing. Oh, wait a minute, this is only act one.
That's just the first bit. Everything's going well. She has it done.
So who is she? Is she herself?
She's Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah.
But now with again, with him chipping in with a bit of voiceover. So the idea is it's all going well at the beginning. She's
so she can't decide what dress to wear.
So she's got she's had half of her brain taken out and put in a bin. Yeah. Okay, and Clive Warren's half has been put in there. So now she's walking round. Okay,
so yeah. she's schizophrenic.
It's okay though, because the bit they put in of Clive Warren's brain is actually him in a coma. So there's nothing happening anyway, don't worry about it. No. She's got is half a brain.
No, like I say, the brain is alive, so it's all going well when she leaves hospital.
Yeah.
And she gets a first taste of it, and it's a bit weird to get hold of, because she's sort of, I think when she signs herself out, he's sort of fighting, writing his name and stuff. So there's a few sort of technical things that she has to get used to.
And does Clive's brain what know does he that think? He's now inside her brain?
Does that matter?
Well, I would say it matters, because... Yes. Otherwise,
it does matter, Carl. What's he thinking?
What's the point of this?
Why has she gone along with this?
Because she really loves him.
But what's in it for him? What does she think?
Well, say if I died, and Suzanne said, "Go on, I'll have half of Carl's," right? She would wake up in the morning to a thought of me sort of going, "Oh, you never guess what I've just thought about," or whatever. I'd still be there.
But she wouldn't ever do that,
isn't it? The rest of your body is sort of waste, isn't it?
But Carl, like the rest of your body's sort of waste.
No, it is, kind of. If when someone dies, it's not that person anymore, is it? They're still there physically.
Yeah.
But you go, you can't have a chat with them. So if you could have someone's brain in your head when they're dead, you'd have it, wouldn't you?
What are you talking about? Why would I have someone's brain in my head when they're dead?
Well,
I've got a perfectly good brain.
Yeah. So, but like I said, you're running on half. So I've
who's running on half?
So you're telling me you wouldn't have it done then?
of course I fucking wouldn't.
I can also categorically state I wouldn't either.
Yeah, but you're saying that now, but once you're in that position that someone who, you know, you love and that dies, if the doctor said, "Do you want it?"
No! I'd go, no! It's madness!
I don't think you
It's
would.
Madness!
All right. Let me just ask this as a question, even if we accept this as a possibility. If Clive Warren doesn't know that he's in Rebecca's brain, their love and the conversations they used to have and what would the connection between them is going to be absent, because she's going to be talking to him and he's just going to be going, "I don't know, shredded wheat."
It's all thought. She doesn't have to
so
talk.
So they're not talking to one another?
Well, they are, but not out loud. She's not walking down the corridor going, "What do you think, Clive?" And he's saying shredded wheat. It's happening.
Right. But how is this dramatically shown on screen? Do we hear those voices?
So now they've got...
you hear the voices.
You hear the voices. So tell me a typical bit of dialogue.
Well, we've done the breakfast scene.
Yeah, that was dynamite.
Yeah.
That's fucking Oscar winning.
Yeah, can we do lunch?
There may be like at the funeral, because even though the brain's still alive, they still have the funeral, and you can have like a funny bit where they stood around the grave and like there's some relation there who he doesn't like, and she can start laughing and the family are looking at her going, "Why is she laughing?"
Yeah.
And she's sort of laughing and he's saying something a bit rude going, "Look at her head." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Looks like
stuff
a fucking
on the
orange.
Family.
Yeah.
Little cameo for you.
Yeah.
And so you have all that, and people are sort of liking the film, thinking, "Oh, it's quite funny, this."
Mm.
And then you hit them hard.
The eight people that have gone to see it.
Yeah. Rebecca De Mornay and her family.
Yeah.
Clive Warren's three mates.
All right, Clive.
I didn't know you were a film star. No, I was in a garage yesterday.
Yeah, I was fixing boilers.
Well, anyway, this is where you get them.
It is the most ludicrous idea for film I've ever heard. It's the maddest. It really is the ramblings of a mental case.
I have to say, though, I am hooked now. I want to know what's going to happen next in the story.
Oh, Christ.
Remember, I was making all this up.
It's not based on a true story, then.
Remember, imagine if he said that in a meeting. Remember, I'm making all this up. And they go, "All right. Oh, okay. I thought.
So the meeting's still going on. They haven't left at this point.
No, they were sort of going, "Oh, right, yeah." But what annoying...
Check, please.
That's the annoying thing. It was like, I just wondered whether this is what they do just so they can have a cake every day at 4 o'clock. Because it was odd. I can't imagine Spielberg sort of nipping down to Costa Coffee to discuss E.T. So I said, right, so this is where you get them. You've got everyone laughing, and that's what it's all about with a film, isn't it? It's emotions, messing with people's emotions and that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they like that. They were like, "Yeah, it is, yeah."
Yeah.
And there you go again. That's
a new outlook to filmmaking.
That's my mouth coming out with stuff that even I didn't know I knew.
Yeah.
So then I said, right, then what happens is she hears the voice go, "Leslie, where are you?" Something.
Right.
her name's not Leslie.
No.
No.
So she's thinking, who's Leslie?
Yeah.
So in her mind, she's going, who's Leslie? He's going, oh.
He's thought, hang on, I've let something slip.
I've let something slip. So she's going, answer me.
Oh.
He goes quiet on her.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
He was having an affair.
This is the thing. So she's trying to hunt down.
Leslie. And he's got to stop her thinking it.
Then what happens is, I mean, you know.
William X. So he's got to hunt down Leslie.
She's got to hunt down Leslie.
Right.
And that can fill about half an hour again.
The fact that you're doing how far you've got through the film.
Fill up 2 hours, right?
One more idea. We call it half hour. That's the end of the film. See you later. Starring Clive Warren.
So
nice to see Rebecca De Mornay again, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Leslie has got to be sought out. It's a woman, is it?
It's another woman.
Right.
But what happens is, I mean, without ruining the end for everyone, what would sort of happen is...
Oh, yeah, because we don't want to ruin it for them, because this will be filling the multiplexes in no time.
Yeah, this film's definitely going to be made.
This is definitely going to get made.
Well, seriously, isn't any... Pick a massive Hollywood film and look at it on paper and go, that's a Barmy idea.
Casablanca.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is...
They called on him as a movie expert.
This is a different sort of love triangle. They've all got their own brains and legs and stuff walking around interacting normally.
But that's just it. It's the power of love, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
But sorry, I don't want to see...
No, it's the greatest love story ever told, set in a head.
But listen, let's just hang on a second,
Carl. You've got to tell us the end. I don't think you can let people listening
hanging on
waiting for the film.
Just let your mouth talk.
Right, so what I said was, I said maybe, because I wasn't sure about this end bit. I thought they might think it's daft or whatever.
You're putting yourself down. I imagine it's dynamite. Go on.
I said maybe you could have something like this. And they were there sort of going, oh, yeah, what's it going to be?
Transfixed.
Yeah, well, he's come up with some great stuff at the moment.
What happens is, his brain is more powerful than hers.
Right. How is there power? Why is there now power involved?
It's got a stronger will.
What I mean is, the brain... Her brain was running the rest of her body.
Now he's taking over.
His brain's just sat there, isn't it, thinking stuff.
Right.
Brilliant.
So that gets more powerful and overrules her body.
Okay.
Yeah.
She then fancies Leslie.
So it's a lesbian
film. Hold on,
film.
This is building up to a lesbian love. So what the...
Well, it's trendy, isn't it, that? So just have a bit of that at the end. And
That is the worst idea I have ever... ever heard for any piece of art. I mean, it would be the worst TV show, worst book, worst everything. It's the worst idea.
It's not the worst idea, because as long as a film makes you think.
But this doesn't make us think about anything.
I'm thinking, who the fuck's Clive Warren? So hold on. So he overpowers her, so she is now a lesbian. What's Leslie getting out of this? Why does Leslie think, hold on, why is my dead lover's wife coming on to me?
Because this is what I'm saying to you. It's relationships. It's the love of two brains.
Right, okay. Again, can we make that into it? That's a quote. The relationships is a love of two brains.
Well, it's
now, he's got something there. He's got something there. But my point is this. Why is Leslie suddenly turned lesbian?
Because she loves the brain.
But does she know this is Clive Warren?
Well, maybe now and again, Rebecca or Clive says something. Rebecca will say something now and again, like, oh, I like me...
Minge.
I like me, you know, me food done like this or whatever. And it's all about, say
cooked.
If like...
I love my food cooked. Wait a minute, Clive Warren on this food.
I'm in two minds about this bacon.
Yeah,
what
I'm
going to
turn into a lesbian.
People,
shredded wheat.
People like what they like. And it's the same way, like I've said to you before, with someone who's been going out with a woman and then is found out that she's got a twin sister and they divorce that first twin and go out with the other twin. It's all the same. You're after the same thing, aren't you?
Yes, but that...
When a cat dies, you buy another one. It's the same thing. You want that same...
Yeah, but you don't necessarily switch your sexual orientation. In the case of your twin scenario, they both look the same.
Yeah. Has there ever been one where it's a twin boy and girl? Well, I was going out with her, but I mean, he looks a bit like her.
Yeah. I loved boobs, now I like cock.
Well...
This is your problem. You don't know anything. And this theory about if your mouth talks enough, the brain will kick in soon. It hasn't.
Rick, you may be interested to know that Carl Pilkington basically thanks to the efforts of your good self in making him into a household name, has got a book deal. And there's a book that will be coming out later in the year called Happy Slapped by a Jellyfish by Carl Pilkington.
What's that about, Carl?
What's the angle? Is it a novel?
Well, again, I just was letting my mouth sort of think and what have you, just churning stuff out. And I was thinking about holidays that I've been on, because they always say write about what you know and stuff. So I thought, well, I've been on a few holidays. Write about them. I actually thought about it when I was on holiday.
Is it a real? Is it like a travel book then? It's your experiences.
It's just like a rough guide.
And have you done it? Have you finished the?
Yeah, I've just got to do some pictures and that and colour them in, and then it's done.
When's that out? October.
Yeah.
So you say it's a travel book, and yet I've managed to get hold of a few pages, and this chapter is titled Australia.
So you've never been to Australia?
No, I know. But,
well, it's not. How is it a travel guide?
No, it's not. It's not like wish you were here type thing. It's just saying, if you're going away, think about it. Right. It's just asking people to sort of think.
But why don't they just let their mouth do the thinking? Why
no,
they?
But just have a read of like my thoughts, and you might have the same.
But you don't know anything about Australia because you've never been.
No, but exactly. So I'm saying I've never been. This is why I've never been. Is this why you've never been?
Well, that makes no sense at all. Makes no sense at all. It's a pointless book.
It's not a pointless book.
Well, let's
sorry, okay. Whereas you thought it was going to be what?
Right, can we read a bit of it then?
So this is the chapter entitled Australia. Box jellyfish, crocodiles, snakes, blue ring octopus, red-black spiders, funnel web spiders, great white sharks. Just some of the reasons that put me off going to Australia. Every creature is bigger and angrier than anywhere else on the world. I put it down to two things. One, it could either be because spiders and snakes and the like normally hide under rocks. The Earth is one big rock. Australia's at the bottom of the big rock, and they're trying to hide under it.
Carl, you are a maniac.
It's just thinking about it, thinking about where spiders go and that works, doesn't it?
No!
Why doesn't that work like a
Because there's no real upside down and bottom of the Earth, is it? It's all relative to what? It's relative to what? A map that you saw.
Well, it's a coincidence, isn't it?
Right, okay, read on.
I've heard that a lot of people go camping in Australia, which I think's mental. If I was to fly all that way, I'd want a decent bed. Mm. Plus, I wouldn't be camping in a place where there are killer spiders wandering around.
I agree.
I've only been camping a few times, and each time I was glad when it was over. The last time was last year in Lyme Regis.
Yeah.
When did you go camping in Lyme Regis?
Last year. It's all right, Lyme Regis. But it was all a bit of a nightmare, because I was going with my mate, and he said he knew someone who knew someone who had a bit of land in the garden.
Who had a bit of land in the garden?
What's the point, though, innit? You know, what's the point of camping in someone's garden where there's a sort of like a spa down the road and like a pub?
No, because you're by the sea, aren't you? It's getting away from it all, seeing the world.
It's not if you're in someone's front garden.
No, back.
Oh, sorry.
Well, there's even less to see except three fences.
No, but it's private, isn't it? So the thing is, he said, oh, it's a great garden, the owners are away, and there's a toilet, an outside toilet that they have
getting
for like when they have parties and stuff. So we get there, and this lad who knew about this bit of land...
Someone's back garden.
Well, yeah. Said, oh, you can't use it, they haven't gone on holiday.
So now you're stuck in the middle of quite a big civilised conurbation called Lyme Regis. Well, how are you going to survive?
Well, we ended up just sort of keeping on the beach. But
did you pitch your tent on the beach?
Put the tent on the beach. We found a bit of... See, we found somewhere where there was a load of rubbish. So we thought...
Nice. That's the place to go,
no,
yeah.
No,
a municipal tip.
What was it? Was it chemical waste or just like, you know...
No, just coke cans
just syringes and
stuff.
Oh, but listen, though, you've got to think about that.
Rusty. What's some of them rusty?
If there's rubbish there, it means it was a good place to camp.
Why?
Why?
Because other people have camped there.
Right.
So that's how you've got to look at it. That's like a little tip of...
I would love this to be a real guide.
So you could have slept in a public lavatory.
Yeah, yeah. This one's nice. What? It's covered in shit. It means other people have had a shit here.
Welcome to our 5-star hotel. You'll notice vomit over all the fucking walls.
So that means people have had a good time here. They got right pissed up and threw their lungs up.
So that's where we put down the tent. We put down the tent there. And then
Some
what was annoying
up
is
a tent. He puts down the tent.
We what's her name?
It was already up.
It
carried
already
it all
up.
The
they
way
carried all the
London.
Way there. And they went, let's pack it down.
Yeah.
The weird thing was, soon as we set up, some other people turned up.
Oh, I saw the rubbish tip.
holidaymakers, that was probably in the guidebook.
They started setting up their tents. Yeah.
No, near. Look, there's some nappies over there. Yeah. Nearer the nappies.
And they offered us some sausages.
All right.
My mates said, oh, ignore them. That's like code for swingers.
What? No! What, so there were some people cooking some sausages,
yeah,
saying, would you like the sausages? We've made too much. And you
it's
said,
just
no,
that
that's
thing.
Code
don't
for
talk
swinging.
To strangers. It's like, we want to get away from it all.
Yeah.
We don't want someone, you know, it starts off with sausages, doesn't it?
And then but what do these people look like?
They were about 45.
Who are they, though?
A man and a woman.
A man and a woman. So what was in it for the bloke?
Some people like that, don't they?
You say, right, I want the bald one, love. If it's like wife swapping, should one of you be a wife?
No, but I don't know all the rules and that, but
he's just got a real thing for fucking oranges.
And we didn't want any sausages anyway, so we just sort of
I don't believe sausages is a code for swingers. Because eventually, how many times do they give someone sausages and they go, well, get your pants off, and they go, well, maybe we just have some sausages. I go, oh, this isn't working, this code.
But why
we need
would
a better code.
Why would we be being offered sausages?
Because they're nice people and they're making sausages.
Yeah. Makes you wonder.
We don't. Let's not trust these people. Let's move our tent nearer to the corpse.
Anyway. So yeah, that was the camping.
I think I'd quite like to meet some proper Aborigines. It amazes me the way that these people still live like cavemen did years ago. They waste nothing. They have a use for everything. I saw some pictures in the paper about some tribe somewhere who chucked their spears at a helicopter that tried to land close to them. If the tribe got annoyed with you, they would let you know that they were annoyed by shaking their knob at you.
That's what they do.
Oh God!
See, that's like a proper guide thing. Just in case you ever meet one, they start doing that.
Carl just ends that chapter by saying, "I don't know what the women do if they get annoyed."
Oh God!
Within this new Carl book, of course, there are extracts from his famous diary. You've actually been to Madeira, have you?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a bit more of a factually accurate, informative chapter on Madeira. September 30th, going away with Suzanne's mum and dad. We're meeting them at Madeira Airport as they're flying in from Manchester. The plane was full and I had a headache. There was a baby sat behind us that was crying its eyes out for the whole flight.
Oh.
The mother of it said it was upset because its ears were hurting. So were mine. We had to get two cabs to the villa because they couldn't fit five of us into one. It cost €85 each. That's just whinging. That's not anything.
That's dear, though, isn't it? It's a dear way.
But
it's
not a good. They don't know how far that was. Yeah. They don't know that's rip off or how, you know.
It's just letting you know that.
What? You don't know what the distance was. If it was a mile, it's a rip off. If it was 25 miles, it's a bargain.
And you know you can't get five of you in one cab. It's all little things that might help you on a journey.
Yeah.
Suzanne's dad said he liked the free biscuits that were in the cupboard. We went to try and find...
Sorry, this isn't useful as a guidebook at all. That is absolutely a... I know. They go, as a guidebook, so I look, oh, Suzanne's dad liked the free biscuits in the cupboard. How much people complaining, and they're going to be like, there's no free biscuits in this cupboard.
We went to try and find a supermarket. Suzanne's man was having a go at her dad because he didn't have a shirt on. She said he looks a mess and is embarrassed to be seen with him. It's their Ruby anniversary tomorrow.
That's why we went away.
Oh, yeah.
I bought a fan to put in our room to drown out the sound of the mopeds. I've heard Wayne Rooney does the same thing with a vacuum cleaner. What?
To
drown out the sound of vacuum cleaners, or he puts a vacuum cleaner in his room to drown out the sound of the
mopeds? If you've just got a noise that's constant, it makes you nod off. And it drowns out every other background noise. So all you've got is, like, if it's a vac, it's just... And if that's constant for, like, all night, you just... Not
people
off.
Next door going, they've got their vacuum cleaner on again. Put on the JCB. People next door going, they've got the JCB on. Get the... But poke the chickens.
That's how nuclear wars start.
Yeah.
It works.
Doesn't work.
We
earplugs. Earplugs. Drown out everything.
I've tried them. I didn't like it, did I?
Why not?
Because I could hear my heartbeat.
Oh, you're such a strange little creature. Oh.
We watched Jerry Maguire in Spanish. Suzanne wanted to go to bed, but I just said I wanted to hear the show me the money line in Spanish to see if it's as catchy. It wasn't. October 3rd.
Sorry, it's Portuguese or Spanish?
I don't know what they're speaking in this country.
Madeira.
So it's Spanish and Portuguese, is it?
It's Portuguese, isn't it?
I think there's a mix. I think you get people going on holiday.
I think.
Yeah, but you get Spanish people going there.
Oh, okay.
So they sometimes show television programmes for possible Spanish holidaymakers. Is that what you're saying? Or have you just got this factually inaccurate because it's a load of old toss?
Oh, God. Amazing. Oh.
October 3rd. Didn't do much this morning. Just think about this. Just think about this.
Why would you put it in
as a holiday? Just think about this next line.
Judith Chalmers. What happened? Not a lot.
Think about this, Rick, as a description of a holiday.
Right, okay.
Okay, as Carl said, he loves to go travelling. It broadens the mind and everything. This is what he did. He's there with his family. He's in Madeira. Didn't do much this morning. Just sat by the pool, saving insects that flew into it.
I'm going to die like fucking Noah. That's amazing. Nothing.
How were you saving them? Did you wait for them to hit the water, then fish them out, or you grab them in the air?
Did you see the legs going?
Oh, God.
Stuck my finger on the top. They grabbed on, lifted it off.
And what, when it, some sort of insect lifeguard, you'd see something landing, they'd go, right, that's me. And you'd go in there.
But it's hard to turn a sort of a blind eye to stuff like that, because you know that's something, you know, you're witnessing death. And if you can save something, you do, don't you? You do your bit. And at night, I'd sort of think, have they learnt the lesson, or will they be back, and will they be dead in here tomorrow? But if they can get an extra day, I've done my bit. I can't do more than that. I'm on holiday, do your bit. I'm lucky enough to see the world, do your bit.
I love it.
I did my bit.
I love it. I love it. I love the fact that he was running around saving flies and things.
Is there something, there's something so sort of...
Meanwhile, an old lady drowned.
Yeah.
He was saving a beetle.
There's something so kind of, I don't know, desperately existential about your diary. That's what's so extraordinary about it. As he says, I just sat by the pool saving insects that flew into it. It was full of death.
God!
It's so depressing, isn't it?
All right.
We walked round the shops. Suzanne's dad bought 2 packets of the biscuits he'd like to take back home with him. Suzanne's man bought a tin of corned beef. It was a bit of a boring day today.
Jesus.
There was a dead bird out the back.
Oh, no. Where were you, Carl?
Suzanne's dad said it looked like it had flown into a wall and killed itself.
No, I think it caught a few insects, but they were covered in chlorine, so it poisoned it.
Loads of ants were eating it.
Oh, God.
I dug a hole under a tree and buried it. The ants were still all hanging around the scene of the death, ages after the burial. Suzanne's dad said I should have left the bird for the ants to eat because I was messing up the food chain. I felt bad, so I gave the ants some breadcrumbs.
This is weird.
This is just so
dark. This is really weird.
Good bread out there, though, isn't it? I should have put that.
We have to eat all the food we've got because we're going home tomorrow. Suzanne's mam cut her finger opening the corned beef tin and fainted.
Sorry, this is really weird. Why do you have to eat all the food?
Isn't this like, what was it? What's that film? The Amityville Horror, where there's like a haunted house and there's dead insects and ghostly children walking through the corridors, old people fainting, insects. I'm just saving the insects, mother.
But you always eat all the food. That's in the fridge before you go home, aren't you? It's all there to be eaten. She bought some pikelets, which I've never had them. They like squash crumpets.
Right, okay. Start again. Start the whole thing again. She bought some what?
Some pikelets.
Pikelets?
Yeah. And I didn't like them because they're not as fat as crumpets.
It's like a different language.
Didn't eat them, and it was a big upheaval because I was going home and her dad kept trying to sneak them into our bags. Because it's like they were for you, you take
smuggling.
Them. We don't want your stuff in our house once, because he gets a bit funny about stuff being left over. There's bins that you can't put certain stuff in. There's a bin in the lounge and I put a tangerine peel in it. He goes, that sort of stuff does not go in that bin. So it's rubbish, but it's not the right sort of rubbish.
Someone will camp next to it.
Yeah. We want to get a better class of camper. Oh, that's the book. It's called Happy Slapped by a Jellyfish.
Yeah, that's from one of the chapters, isn't it?
By Carl Pilkington. Get that soon.
Particularly if you're thinking of visiting Madeira or Australia.
Yeah. Well, that's about it. Thanks for listening to this. If you enjoyed this and you haven't heard the others, we've got the whole all 3 series on iTunes. You can go and download those.
The Ricky Gervais Show, is that what it's called?
It's called The Ricky Gervais Show, yeah. Carl's also made a programme for me, Steve, on my Fame DVD, out in November. It's called Fame. So I thought of a little title, Fame, I'm Going to Live Forever. Remember that guy we met who's going to live forever,
oh, yeah,
called Howard?
Yeah.
That was a meeting of minds, and it's Carl meeting Howard, and it's...
Got on with him.
It's really good, isn't it? It's really good, and they do... He really gets on with him, and we're probably going to do a new series of the podcast maybe next year. What do you think, Carl? If you're not too busy making this film with Clive Warren?
We'll see how it goes. Don't plan anything.
Yeah, just check out rickygervais.com. I am Ricky Gervais, with me, Stephen Merchant.
Goodbye.
And Carl.
Right.